for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with from sea to shining sea.
Father, we thank you for the nation that you have so blessed us with. Lord, your word tells us that blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, may we ever put you first. Lord, thank you for the way that you have blessed us all down through the ages. But this morning, we come into your house this morning, Lord, that we might worship you and praise you and thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your love, and your mercy. But Lord, thank you again for America. Lord, thank you for this flag that we stand beside this morning. Lord, we stand here in honor of what she stands for. Lord, thank you for those that have given their lives, Lord, that we might have the freedom that we do today. Lord, I know much will be said about that this morning, but Lord, I pray and I thank you, Lord, that you would just continue to have your hand upon America. You know what we need far better than we do. Lord, we look to you, trust in you, for we do know that blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Church, would you stand? Let's sing God Bless America. Then we're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag this morning. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Let me see that.
Well, what a wonderful introduction to our service this morning. Amen. And I want to say that it is a tremendous blessing and honor to be here at the house of the Lord, especially in these days with everything taking place. So good to see those who have turned out this morning. And I do want to say happy 4th of July weekend. And talking with Miss Catherine a moment ago, and we're just going to consider it happy 4th of July month and celebrate the entire month and be patriotic towards our country. And I don't I don't preach about politics from the pulpit, and I won't start now. I won't say anything, but I do want to say that I was so moved watching President Trump's speech on Friday at Mount Rushmore, and then again on yesterday, and appreciate a president who takes a stand, who has convictions, true convictions, and about the history of our land and those who gave their lives and shed their blood for our freedom. And that's truth this morning, and we stand on that truth. Again, it's good to see everybody. I want to mention a couple things, and then we're going to pray and toss it back to Brother Allen. You know, I don't know if everyone notices or not, but we're a little bit smaller in number than we were last Sunday, this Sunday. And through much prayer and consideration of phase number two of our church, reopening Calvary, and also by meeting with the deacons last Sunday after the AM service, and all of us talking amongst ourselves, I said that this week I wanted to watch the numbers of the pandemic and the cases, and we all know the cases are rising. They are dramatically and drastically rising. With that said, you know, I feel that I want to take the best efforts in not allowing exposure to that while numbers are climbing for our people. And so we're going to postpone phase two for at least a couple more weeks. Phase two, let me just say, entailed and does entail Sunday school and choir. And whenever we feel comfortable, myself and the deacons, and when we start in phase two, we will, of course, you know, have social distancing in the classroom and in the choir. But I just want to say, church, just hang in there with us. You're aware, as we're aware, of how things are with this COVID-19. And our best interest is in mind with all of this. I just cannot, I do not feel good in good conscience to open up more ministries of the church while numbers are rising and people are dying. I just cannot do that, and the deacons support that 100%. And so we trust that you'll hang in there as well. I look at it this way. At least we have one service going, and we got a foothold in the door. And so we will build off that. And then as things get better, and we're claiming that things will get better, when things get better, we will usher in to complete our Sunday morning service, Sunday school and choir. And then when things get much more better, prayerfully and hopefully, then we'll usher back in Sunday night, Wednesday night. But as of now, Sunday mornings, again, just give us a couple more weeks. Let's pray together. Let's watch. Let's be mindful. And, you know, that has to be my approach. Many people say, oh, it's all politics. Well, that may have something to do with it, but when you're in a leadership position, you can't have that kind of attitude, especially if you love your people. And so we're going to do that. And thank you for your patience along the way. Let's remember everyone on our prayer list this morning. We're not going to go through all the names. Typically, we do that on Wednesday night. Just ask that you remember each and every person, every life, every situation. Remember our country and days ahead that we take. And we definitely pray for our land and for our president. But nonetheless, we're here. And I'm sure you came because you're ready to worship. And so let's worship the Lord this morning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Folks, we need spiritual food. And whether we're watching Facebook Live, and thank you for watching, or whether we're in person, Word of God must go forth. It's just an extra blessing to be able to meet and get fed. Amen. Let's pray this morning, and then we will toss it back to Brother Allen. Just remember, after the service, we'll be taking an offering at the door entrances. And so remember that at the end of the service. Father God, we come one more time in no other name but Jesus' name. And Lord, we're thankful for a president who has firm convictions based upon the truth and the history of our land. Father, we pray for him that you would touch him and guide him, strengthen him in days ahead. Help us, Lord, also be people of conviction. Because, Lord, that's what's going to change things, not only in our world, dealing with our country, but spiritually. Let us have firm convictions on who Jesus is and the way to heaven, and the life he lived, the death he died, the resurrection and his coming. Let us all, Lord, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh of the reason, the hope that's within us. We love you this morning. And God, we pray for each and every need, every person, every life. Those that are receiving health care at their homes. And God, those who are battling cancer. Those, God, who are just in not a good place in their minds. Possibly they're depressed today, discouraged. We pray that the gospel light this morning would shine unto them and allow them just for a moment to have a little bit of peace along the way. And when church is over and we go home, let us walk in the light that we received. God, I know you want to speak this morning. I pray you'll do so. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Protect all of our people from this COVID-19. Lord, protect those who are watching. Thank you for those who are watching. Bless them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Things are definitely dead. Things are definitely a little different this morning without the choir, but we're going to try and pull off a song this morning, so I ask that you just remember us in prayer. And I believe it's a song that's very fitting. We go through difficult times, and we are now, but I'm glad that he is with us through the fire. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, He shields the flames again, again. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but He said help would always come in time. And just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says within, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again. Just hold on. Our Lord will show up and He will take you through the fire again. Again.
What a blessing this morning. Has the Lord brought anybody through the fire? Say amen. 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 He has, He is, and He will forever and ever bring us through. And appreciate that song, Brother Allen. That's probably one of my all-time favorites, Through the Fire. Goes along with my sermon this morning in that song Brother Allen just sang. It mentions being in the valley of decision, and the adversary whispers to you, give up. But then Jesus whispers to you, go on. I want to talk about a particular valley this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 84 in verse number 6. Book of Psalms, Psalm 84 in verse number 6. I'm interested this morning in the valley of Baca. Valley of Baca. And what a blessing it was studying out this valley. You know, there's many valleys mentioned in God's Word. And there's the Valley of Megiddo. Also gives reference to the Valley of Decision. And there's the Valley of Elah, where David fought Goliath. And here this morning, there's the Valley of Baca. And I want this sermon to be more than just a message about a valley. We preach and talk about, and you hear preaching and teaching about hills and valleys all the time. And possibly and perhaps we'll continue talking about hills and valleys till Jesus comes. Or the grave digger comes for us, the funeral home won. That's the truth of it. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6 of Psalm 84. And the Bible says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. I want you to notice, by way of introduction this morning, the inscription. If you have a Bible that carries an inscription or subtitle under Psalm 84, it says, to the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. What that means is the word gittith here is an instrument. It's a harp. And this particular psalm was played. The instrument was a harp. At least one instrument was a harp, the gittith instrument. And it says to the chief musician upon gittith, or the harp, a psalm for the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah were, let me just say that Korah was the nephew of Moses. And Korah had some sons, the sons of Korah, Korah being the nephew of Moses. And these were a branch of singers in the Old Testament. And what we have here, we have the chief musician upon gittith, the harp, and we have the sons of Korah singing. And the backdrop is that they're on their way to Mount Zion, or they're on their way to the house of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7, they go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Look, if you would, in verse number 10, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. How about that? He's talking about the house of God, and they're playing music as they go to the house of God. And the problem is, or the experience is in this chapter, is that there's a valley that must be crossed or gone through in order to get there. And it's the Valley of Baca. And that's my title this morning, the Valley of Baca. And I want to use this valley, if I could, as a comparative to our life as Christians. And how that there's a price to pay, there's suffering involved in this life, not only getting to the house of God, but in life in general. This valley of Baca is very comparative to the Christian life and a course that we must all go through and go down. And so this morning I want to mention some things about this valley and how it can be comparative to our life. Number one, in verse 6, I want you to notice the meaning of the valley of Baca. He says in verse number 6, who passing through the valley of Baca. What a name that is. Baca. Makes me want to sound like an animal and say it real fast. Baca, 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 Baca. I don't know. Who passing through the valley of Baca. The name Baca has a specific meaning to it. And the name Baca, it means weeping or lamentation. And so he's literally saying that the church on the way to church, the body of Christ on the way to church, the Christian individual, in their life, there are times where you pass through a valley of weeping, a valley of lamentation. I wonder this morning, am I preaching to anybody who's been doing any weeping lately? Any kind of lamenting. The number one thing that America should weep over or lament over is their sin. And how that 2 Chronicles, I believe it's 7:14, tells us the answer to the lift of famine and the lift of war on our land. Tells us to repent and seek God's face. But you see, there's weeping and lamentation in this valley. And maybe there's someone here today, there's someone watching online, that you've been going through a valley of weeping. That you have been experiencing a time of lamentation. We all can say that collectively as a people going through this time of pandemic. politics and protesting, my three piece, because that's what we're experiencing. But on an individual basis, maybe there's some weeping and lamenting in the home place. Maybe there's some weeping and lamenting in some marriages. Or maybe there's some weeping and lamenting in your parental life. You're not satisfied who you are as a parent. Or maybe it's a wayward son or daughter that you have as a parent, and you're lamenting and weeping over that. There's many kind of reasons why we could be weeping or lamenting in certain valleys. But nonetheless, this valley of Baca is a valley where there's weeping involved. It's a valley where there's lamenting involved. Also, let me say this about this valley. This valley was a dry place. This valley was a barren place. Look in verse number 2 as the writer cries out for spiritual moisture. In verse number 2, he says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." This is the person who wants God in their life. This is the person who wants the manifestation of God in their life. They want the peace of God. They want to be in God's house, and they want to worship among God's people. They want God in their home place. They want God to direct their marriages. They want God to direct their parenting. They want God. But you see, there's a valley here. This valley they're experiencing, and it's very dry. Have you ever experienced a really dry mouth? The first 5 years, 8 years of my preaching, I had to have about 3 of these every message because of the lack of moisture. You just get dry mouth with your thoughts trying to line everything up. Maybe you're working out and you need a cup of water. I don't know. Sometimes it's after a meal and there was too much sodium involved and we're thirsty then. I even heard that, it's been a while since I've heard this, but as far as like farms and cattle and cows, they have what they call a salt block. And to get them to drink water, they lick that salt block. It has a taste to it, but it creates a thirst. They're thirsty. Well, the Bible says that this valley, the valley of Baca, it's a place of weeping and lamentation. But also, it's a literal place in Palestine, southwest of Jerusalem, as in Palestine, the southwestern place, southwest of Jerusalem, located the Valley of Baca. It was known for being dry. It was known for having no water. And some believe that this Valley of Baca was also located, or is the same valley of the Valley of Rephrim, or Rephrim. The Valley of Rephrim is in 2 Samuel 5, 22 and 23. You don't have to turn there, just listen to this. David was in this valley, the Valley of Rephrim, and the Philistines had gathered themselves against him. And he asked the Lord, "Shall I go up?" And the Lord said, "Go." But then there was a second occasion where they spread themselves in this valley, the Valley of Rephaim or the Valley of Baca, a dry and barren place. And David asked a second time, "Should I go up to attack?" And the Lord said, "Don't go. Don't go." But he did say, when you hear the sound of a going on the tops of the mulberry trees, then I want you to go in from the backside. And you see, some say that the word Baca is in reference to the mulberry tree. It's the same valley of the Valley of Rephrim, some say. The mulberry tree sometimes can produce a resin-type liquid that would symbolize, or look like, rather, a teardrop. I don't know the truth of all that. But the mulberry tree produces a resin or can produce that's similar to a teardrop. And so that would make perfect sense this morning. The valley of Baca, the place of weeping, the place of lamenting. It is a dry and barren place. And so the writer here, as they're on their way to, with the body of the church, on the way to the church, they are singing about passing through their struggle. They said in verse number 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. So the valley of Baca this morning, the meaning, it means weeping or lamenting. Maybe somebody is there this morning. You're at a dry place. You're at a barren place. Your heart and flesh is crying out for God. Your heart and flesh is crying out for change. Do you want your life to change this morning? You say, Brother Justin, I'm already a Christian. I know where I'm going when I die. But yet that's just the getting on station. Because our change is continual after salvation. We are to be changed from faith to faith, from strength to strength. As we look into the pages of God's Word and we attempt to live it out, we ought to be more like Jesus, not less. And you see, sometimes it takes a valley to get that, to get there. Sometimes it takes a dry place. We would never know how thirsty we really are unless we got really dry. And sometimes in life, God, He by His providence, He allows dry times. He allows these valleys, these places of weeping. I didn't say He's always the author of it, but I did say sometimes He allows it through providence, through His control. And we get dry, and we get thirsty, and we need some spiritual moisture to our bones and to our lips, and therefore we go after God. This morning I'm looking at some of our church folks that are here. You are going after God or you wouldn't be here this morning. You have weathered a pandemic to get here. You are here this morning. And just by you being here, not saying those watching, you don't desire God. I'm just saying that just by you being here this morning, it is saying that you are thirsty for Jesus. So we see the meaning. Baca. Valley of Baca, it means weeping or lamentation. It was a dry place. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only the meaning of the Valley of Baca, but there's a misery here. Notice if you would, again in verse number 6. Who passing through the Valley of Baca. Who passing through the Valley of Baca. This is the believer's misery. Who in here this morning is anxious to go through a valley in your life? Not me. Who here this morning is anxious to have marital problems? Not me. Who's here this morning who's anxious to have parental problems and church problems and problems in America? I'm not interested in that, are you? But guess what? Every last one of us, and I'm sure everybody here this morning, can testify of the valleys you have been through. Some of those valleys, you came out a better person. But some of those valleys, maybe you did not come out a better person. Some of the valleys in my life, I want to say that I responded the best I could, and I feel like I'm a better person, better Christian. But there's other times in valleys when things happen at the church, when things happen at home and things happen at the schoolhouse, and I don't act my very best or respond the best, guess what? It's still a valley that's for me to be transformed in. The ministry or the misery, he says, who passing through the Valley of Baca. While Baca is a physical place, the Valley of Baca, it also carries a spiritual implication, as I just said. And that is, we all experience this valley from time to time. There's times where we're on the mountaintop and we're feeling God's smile upon us and we're feeling the sun shine upon us, the S-U-N and S-O-N. And it's those times we're rejoicing with the Lord and we're rejoicing with fellow man. But then there's those valley times. Those valley times are a place, a time of weeping and lamenting, spiritually and emotionally. Wonder if there's anybody here this morning or watching on Facebook that you're going through the misery of the valley of Baca. We talked about the meaning, but the misery. He says, who passing through the valley of Baca. And keep in mind, they're going somewhere. They're going to worship. And there's many times where we're either going to a spiritual place or we got some endeavor in mind in life or we have some kind of desire that we're aiming at in life. We all from time to time have to go through these valleys to get there. I was listening to Pastor Benny Tate this morning. Love that man. Rock Springs Church. He preached a message that on a text that I'm familiar with. I preached it before. He talked about Moses and leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea. And then they came to Marah and they were thirsty and they tried to drink, but they couldn't drink because the waters were bitter. And the Lord showed Moses a tree when Moses cried out for help. And when that tree was cast into the waters, the bitter waters were made sweet. This is a picture of applying Jesus to your situation. He can make our bitter water sweet. But he said this. He said the goal was to get from Egypt to Canaan. And in Canaan, this is where milk and honey was. And then he stopped and he said, you know, I'm a country boy and I used to farm. And I know one thing. Anytime you're dealing with honey, there's always bees involved. And then he said, I know another thing. Anytime you're dealing with milk, and then he said, there's always, well, I ain't going to say that word, but that's involved. You might step in it. And Benny Tate said this, God wants to take us from Egypt and to get us to Canaan land where the milk and honey is, but many times we have to put up with stuff we step in and stings from the enemy to get there. Thought that was pretty good. I like that. And much is the case this morning. He says, who passing through the valley of Baca. Listen, they were on their way to God's house to be of service to the Lord and his people, but they must pass through this difficult time. And you this morning, myself, we are not exempt from that. God, whether it's by something we did that got us there or it's something that he ushered in our life that we have no power over. There will be a valley of tears that we all must cross and go through. Sometimes that's the only way to get to point B from leaving point A. So I want to say that there's not only the meaning of Baca, the valley of Baca, which means a weeping place, but there's the misery of it. Who passing through the valley of Baca. They were going through it. Are you going through it this morning? Those watching, are you going through that rough place? I want to mention something else. Not only do we see the meaning of the valley of Baca, we see the misery of the valley of Baca, but then there's a ministry in this valley of Baca. The ministry, notice what he says. Who passing through the valley of Baca, notice this, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. I want to say that every valley we go through, every valley I go through, every valley that you go through, every place of weeping, every place of tears and lamenting when your plans have fallen through, and maybe my plans have fallen through, and things have turned out for the worse rather than the better, or whatnot, whatever the case is, who passing through the valley of Baca, he says there is a ministry here. He says, make it a well. Don't waste those tears, but use them for ministry. Notice something here. Because of the dryness of this valley, there was zero water for their refreshment. He says, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. the rain also filleth the pools. Therefore, because of the dryness of this valley, there was zero water for their refreshment. No doubt they were thirsty passing through this dry and barren land on the way to the house of God. They had to dig their own spot. They had to make a well when there was no well. You see, they were going through this valley on their way to the house of God. It was dry. It was barren. It was a place of tears. It was a place of weeping. They wanted to get to God. They wanted spiritual revivement. They also wanted physical revivement and refreshment, but they couldn't have it because it wasn't there. And so they made a ministry out of their misery. You know what they did? They went to work in their misery. I want to say this morning. Depending on how thirsty you and I are, depends on if we make a ministry out of our misery. If we're thirsty to go forward with God, we'll get to digging in our dry places. If we're thirsty to be at harmony with fellow man, we'll get to digging in our dry places. If we're thirsty to have the best family possible for God, and the best parenting skills and all the rest of it, we will not give up in our misery, but we will get to work in our misery. He says, make it a well. You say, Brother Justin, explain further. I will. Therefore, they would dig out a well. Literally, this is what happened. They were so thirsty, yet their desire was set to get to God. They were so thirsty, they had to make a decision. Will I give up before I make it to God, or will I dig in? And so what happens is, and what happened then, they would dig out a well or a ditch in the ground where water would collect. Notice what he says. Make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. There was no water there. There was no lakes. There was any kind of body of water. No creek, no lake, no ocean, no nothing. Dryness. But they were thirsty for God. They were thirsty for their future. They wanted God at the helm of everything. They weren't going to give up. But what they were going to do, if they knew they had to make it to Jerusalem, and they knew they needed refreshment physically, and so they got to digging, and they knew God would fill that hole with water to drink. I want to say, during them dry, barren times of life, will we feel like giving up? Will we feel like quitting because it's so dry and it's so barren? Maybe some friends have turned their back on you, or maybe some things have fallen through in your life and didn't go in your favor. Listen, don't quit, don't give up, but grab your spiritual shovel and get to digging, because the Lord will send the rain in order to replenish you. His desire is not for you to quit in the valley, but his desire is for you to make it through the valley. Notice, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. And so literally what's taking place is they would dig a hole and God would fill that hole with water, and they would be able to drink and be replenished to get to God. Listen. We have got to get to digging. There may be some personal things that need to be dug out so God can fill. There may be some things at the home place that need to be dug out so God can fill. Listen, there's things in my life that need to be dug out. I'm not perfect, so God can fill me. I want to be filled more with the Holy Spirit to have power in my life over the enemy, this world, the flesh, and the devil. I want to have a great, much more great family that loves the Lord with all their heart. And my desire for this church is to be greater. But listen, there's some things in my life and in your life and those watching that must be dug out so God can fill it. You see, sometimes in life we experience these dry valleys, and yet it is a prelude to us for us to start digging. It's the salt block for cows. We have a thirst for God, like in verse number 2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. When we get to that place in life where we can't feel God and we can't sense His presence, I know He's there with us. I know He'll never leave us. I know He'll never forsake us. But if we shall get to a dry place, and our desire is bigger than our dry place, we are in a good place. Because we will get to digging some stuff out. Lord, I can't sense you in my life for the past couple of weeks. So, Lord, I'm going to examine my mind and heart. Maybe it's something that I'm watching on TV that you're offended of. Maybe it's something I'm listening to on the radio that you're offended of. Maybe it's a relationship of a particular friend that you're offended of. Dear God, the Holy Spirit, you know, can be grieved and quenched. And because of that, Lord, I want your presence. I'm going to dig out some things so you can send your spiritual rain into my life, Lord, because I need a drink. God, I'm about to die. Lord, I'm about to give up. Lord, I'm about to quit. But I don't want to, Lord. I want to continue. But if I'm going to continue, I have to dig. We all need to keep a shovel in hand. We preached on Nehemiah, I can't remember when. Sermons get lost when you're preaching 3 times a week. But in the book of Nehemiah, they were so busy, maybe it was a couple Wednesday nights ago, they were so busy on that wall with a weapon in one hand and bringing in the work with the other, a weapon and a hammer. They were building and battling. You see, sometimes in life, that has to be the case. We have to get to work. And we can't just quit building our families, but we have to build our families with a weapon in one hand and a sword in the other. You see, a lot of families in America try to raise their families according to their own standards, according to their own rules. We'll live at the movies, the cinema. We'll live at the ball field. You know, we'll never go. We don't need church. We don't need God. That's a crutch. You know, some people are all in that way. But then there's others who need the Lord. And what I'm saying is we can't raise a family. We can't lead a church. We can't be the parent we need to be with just a hammer in one hand, we need a weapon in the other. We've got to stay on the wall, church. We've got to be watchmen and make sure the things that are coming in our living rooms from the TV set are wholesome things. Make sure that the things that we listen to in the car are wholesome things. We are building and battling. And listen, it's the valley of Baca. It's a dry time. It's a testing time. But we're going somewhere. We're going to the Lord and we're working our way toward Him. And there's a ministry here. Make it a well. We make it a well, the Bible says, the rain also filleth the pools. During our dry valley, the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, we can find God if we want to. I wonder this morning if there's anybody who has laid down their sword spiritually. Maybe someone watching, maybe you got your sword, but you don't have your hammer. You're fighting the enemy, but you're getting nowhere. See, you need a sword, but you also need a hammer. We've got to not only spend our lives fighting off the devil, but we got to have a work taking place on the other hand. What I call having one of those and not the other is being in a rut. Being in a rut, a hard place. So let me say that the ministry of the Valley of Baca, he says, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. So I say to this morning, turn your valley of misery into a valley of ministry. Number one, dig until you're refreshed. But I want to conclude with this. After you're refreshed, those wells are still there. God will fill those pools for whoever's coming behind you. You have already dug, and now you're on the way to the house of God. You're on your way toward God. You dug, you drank, but there's people that's coming behind you that need a drink. And I want to say this, that let us not only have a certain walk with God where we benefit, but let us be conscientious of those behind us, the younger ones, even the older ones. Let us continue in our valley. Let us stay hard after God. Hammer in one hand, weapon in the other. Let us dig a well so we can drink. But then guess what? So others can drink. They come in behind us. One day Lily's going to grow up and she's going to be on her own, whether she realizes that or not. And my prayer is that she can grow up and say, you know what? I'm going through a very hard place in my life. But I remember mom and dad going through hard places. And I remember that there were some times where dad was vulnerable and he said with his lips, he says, I'm just going to quit. I've said that before in my house, church. I'm no different than anybody. Have you seen your dad quit? That's the well for her to drink from one day. Because sure as I am an inch tall, not only us adults are going through valleys, but our kids one day, they will go through some of the same valleys that we did. And what we do now in the valley will dictate what they do then in their valley. What I say this morning, dig a well. Life is hard for you, dig a well. Life is very, very intense for you. Get your spiritual hammer and your weapon and stay on that wall and be a watchman for God. And listen, take hand to that plow and don't look back. Dig a well for you, but also remember, people are watching you in your walk. A lot of people drink from the same wells that you drank from and you don't even know it. I remember, come on guys, I remember going to Floyd Road and watching Brother Berman. I was newly saved. 2002 is when I got born again. I'm talking about I went from listening to rap music to gospel music. That's my testimony. Rock and roll, huh? To Kyla Rowland. And I remember coming to Floyd Road and sitting there, fresh desires for God, and I would see this man get up, perfectly creased suit. That don't matter, but it mattered to me, and it influenced my life at that time. And I watched how he carried himself behind the pulpit. I watched how he preached. But not long after my conversion, I got a job as the building groundsman at Floyd Road. And for the next 6 years, I would work with him. I watched how he was outside of the pulpit. Wasn't a perfect man, but I just studied him and watched him. I watched how he handled church members. And I seen his patience with people. But also I knew he wasn't a doormat neither. At the right time, he will make a stand for God and he'll say, this ain't going to happen. I seen his ups. I seen his downs. I watched how he dressed. All of that. And what he didn't know was, or at least, he probably knew a little when I would tell him, but his family knows my heart. Carol and Carrie and the kids. I was drinking from a well that he dug that God had filled. And to this day, I'm still drinking from that well. Is there someone in your life that you're watching dig? And you're thinking, please don't stop digging. Because I'm benefiting from your walk. That might be a word for you this morning to, you know, to pray for them. Pray for your mentors. Pray for that person in leadership that they can continue to dig, that God would fill and you can drink from. But nonetheless, the common denominator in all this is that after we're gone, there's some younger ones that's going to drink. They're going to drink from either a sweet well or a bitter well. Some things that we've done and left behind that are good and pleasant, or some other things. But also the common denominator is there's always time. There's always time to try. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you this morning. I don't know, Lord, if the message was received or not. I feel that that was the message for this morning. And I pray that others were benefited from it. The Valley of Baca, this lonesome place of weeping. But Lord, there's a misery here. Nobody wants to be in that place, but help us focus on the ministry. Make it a well for us, but for others. We love you. Minister during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever song.